It's episode 150 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Verdier. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing all the news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con and the films Dunkirk, War for the Planet of the Apes, and an early review of Atomic Blonde. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head on over to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. And we've been off for a little bit, just a couple weeks or something like that, or a week and a half, something like that.
Sure.
Life, busy with life, things happen. And
by playing the board game.
Like, yes.
Really,
yes.
The spinner really.
Yes.
Mesmerizes.
I have 32 kids. I don't know how I'm going to pay for all those little pins.
Okay, you got to do it somewhere. You better hope you land on Doctor, sure.
What was like the worst one?
I don't know.
Was it like, I mean, was it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Was it like real life where they're just like, teacher, you suck?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're probably the most important person in the country, but you suck. We're not going to pay you.
Yeah, I don't remember what the...
I don't remember. It was some... I forget what it was.
It's a good trivia question.
Yeah, no, that is a good trivia question. Worth the temper. Yeah, but San Diego Comic-Con was just this past weekend, and a lot of big news came out of that.
As one would expect.
A lot of trailers. Justice League. There's a new Justice League trailer out there that they showed. And looks a little different from the original trailer that came out. A little brighter, perhaps.
I mean, like a skosh.
Well, I mean, it looks like there's more colors in it.
Right.
And that could be due to Joss Whedon, who is doing reshoots. And apparently
a shit ton of reshoots.
Yeah, apparently there was a story, I think, of Variety today that broke that said that these reshoots are costing way more than any other reshoots. And they're way longer than normal reshoots. So.
Right.
There's now possibly a question of what Joss Whedon's credit is going to be on this
film. The original report was, you know, just minor reshoots. So Now we're hearing...
Which is normal for a film.
Which
it's
is
like
normal.
About like a couple weeks.
But now we're hearing it's over 4 weeks.
Possibly two months.
And, you know, $25 million worth of reshoots kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it looks like Whedon will get writing credit possibly. I don't know.
Probably a screenwriting credit, but possibly, I mean, but now they're like...
A director.
Is it going to be a co-director?
Yeah.
Which
all sucks for Zack Snyder because of what happened.
Yeah, because of what happened. Yeah. It'd be fine if they just fired him.
Yeah, that would be okay. That would be okay if they just realized that he wasn't up to snuff.
But yeah, so it's... But the trailer looked good. I thought it was pretty cool.
We'll see. It's not like it had new information, really.
Not really. I mean, it had new footage in it, it was a lot of new footage, but I would say a little bit lighter in tone, too, as far as, you know, a lot of action. It was interesting because I watched some of the panel, and you can really see how the power dynamic has shifted now to Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Oh, right.
Because now that her film is the most successful DC Universe film.
Good.
You know, it's not... Like, they talked to Ben Affleck.
It's no longer like... Batman's Justice League.
Right. You know? And now it's a little bit like Wonder Woman's Justice League.
Yeah.
And
that may be where some of the reshoots come in.
That's true too.
Yeah.
That's true too. Also another story broke that this past weekend that said that Warner Brothers is, quote, quietly trying to get Ben Affleck out of being Batman. We don't know how much of it is true, how much is not.
He denied it.
He kind of denied it at Comic-Con. He didn't outright just say, you know.
Yeah, it was more, if it had been Affleck, I mean, it was very PC in the Hollywood world. He's basically like, this is the role of a lifetime. Why would I
well, he also
not
said,
want to do it?
He said, as long as they want me, I'm Batman.
Right.
So it's, you know. And then another thing was revealed that Flash's movie is going to be possibly going in the Flashpoint direction, which, if you know anything about comic books, that is kind of like a reality-changing event.
Yeah.
So if they're going to put in
different things could happen.
If they're going to put in a new Batman, that's the way you do it. And then there's no idea on whether if they replace Ben Affleck, if it's just going to be another guy who's around his age, Carl Urban, or if it'll be Carl Urban, or if it'll be I wish though, yeah. But if it will be a younger guy,
right.
That's closer in age to Superman, to Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot and all those characters.
We'll see.
So we'll see what happens.
Plays out.
Thor Ragnarok had another trailer and it was awesome.
Yeah, the movie looks pretty. Finally excited about a Thor movie.
It looks really good. Hulk features heavily in this trailer and Bruce Banner. And Hulk actually even talks at the end of the trailer, yeah. Which was funny. That was a funny scene.
It was funny, yeah.
I like the chemistry between Thor and Bruce Banner. I think it's fun. Yeah. Like he's like, we had a fight. I won. That doesn't sound right. No, that's how it happened.
That's what happened.
That's exactly how it happened. And it gave some more idea about the plot and stuff like that. And it looks good. It looks really, really good. And then of course,
wait till November then.
Yeah, November. And then of course there was Avengers Infinity War, which that footage. Sort of that leaked online, but it's
yeah,
it's
that
a real,
wasn't official, that
right?
Was,
that's
yeah.
a real crappy video, but
of course,
you can see what's going on. And
you
it's
got the guy, like,
yeah,
he's not
yeah.
exactly Jerry Seinfeld yeah, in the yeah, movie theater, yeah. you know.
It's on an angle, and like, and this one person in the front kept on standing up. I'm like, sit down, asshole. It's like, yeah, I'm glad you like Spider-Man so much, but sit the fuck down,
right?
I'm trying to see what the hell's going on here. And it looks cool. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, it's pretty much what I expected.
What you expect from
it was
exactly,
going to be
yeah.
this massive movie. The Black Panther footage has not leaked, but apparently that was a huge hit there. And even the cast hadn't seen it yet, and they react. They got all
yeah,
excited about it.
We
too.
We got some
so.
New images,
yeah.
from it, but no.
Yeah, footage. The new poster's yeah. cool. The new poster's
it
very.
Is.
Cool.
It looked really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that poster. Oh, and I also have to say the poster for Justice League is cool as shit too.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I like
you,
the way they did that.
If
very
any
stylish. Very
yeah,
stylized.
Any comic book fans out there who know Alex Ross, it's a photograph. It's a photo of them, but the way they lit it, it very much looks like an Alex Ross cover, comic book cover. It's very, very cool. I mean, there's so much light on Batman, his costume actually looks blue
right.
now instead of like that black and gray. So it's very cool. TV stuff, Stranger Things 2 had a panel there, and their trailer came out. Which
had
looks,
a panel here too, you know.
They did too, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Wasn't the one, it was supposed to be both the kids, and then it was
one fucking kid showed up. We called I called the end of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He was.
Were there a lot of people in there?
He was leading it, yeah. It was
oh, good, okay, good.
Full
good.
Up for that.
I was afraid it was because it was just the one kid, and he's
I,
not even
I mean,
like.
I was standing in the hallway with
okay.
him. Okay. Yeah.
Also because he's like, he, you know, I mean, you have like Mike, who's like the main kid, and,
right.
and then you have 11. They're like the two main
yeah.
stars of the kids, and then they're kind of like
no, he
the
was,
backup kids.
One thing I did realize, when I saw this, oh, he's not acting that lisp.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's actually his. Okay. But no, it was completely.
Oh, good.
That
good for
auditorium
him.
Was completely full.
Good for him. Yeah. But no, the trailer for Stranger Things 2 looks awesome. It looks really cool. Very creepy.
I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it? Oh, man. You got to watch it.
Mm-mm.
It's very creepy.
I saw the poster.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I haven't watched the trailer.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then there was also, even though they only started filming just like last week, there was also a teaser for Westworld season 2, which won't come out till next year. That was also very cool. Very fucked up too.
Yeah.
It looks awesome though. I mean, just the little that they showed, it looks
really
cool.
Like first season was good.
So that's Comic-Con. We had a one, what was it? Super-Con. Came to Raleigh a couple weeks ago.
It wasn't as bad as we feared.
Yeah, we feared it was going to be like a second-rate event, but it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. We had some good panels.
Cool panels.
And,
yeah.
I got to see. We both got to see LeVar Burton.
Yeah, he was. That was a cool panel.
And what was very interesting about that is that you know
he's not actually blind.
He's not blind.
Weird.
No, he's not. It's a Comic-Con thing, you know. Super-Con, whatever the fuck they might call it. But it seemed like a lot of people were there to see him for Reading Rainbow, and I was
totally,
like,
they were totally there for.
He's
Reading
like, who
Rainbow.
Knows me from Star Trek? And most of the people, yay! And they Reading Rainbow.
The place
erupted.
I was like,
with
the Reading
Jesus.
Rainbow.
I was like, hi, Jordy. And then I went to go see the Brent Spiner panel. He played Data, and he was hilarious. He was really funny. You saw Lee Majors.
I started the morning of Lee Majors, and it was just like it was so sad. Like, after Lee Majors, what was after that?
LeVar Burton.
When people started filing into LeVar Burton, Lee Majors was like, okay, I guess we can start over now that the place is filled up again. It was so sad.
It was really so sad. I was so sad for him.
And he showed up fucking 30 minutes late.
Oh, shit. Well, then I guess it's his fault. Maybe people were there. No, I was there.
Trust me. No one was there. I was there for the Fall Guy. And it was still fun. But yeah, I felt a little bad. I was like, but what do you expect? He's got a minor part in Ash vs. Evil Dead now. Yeah. It's not like he's quote-unquote relevant.
Yeah, yeah. And there were mostly younger... I don't want to say younger kids there. I mean, there were a lot of adults there. But it wasn't like fans of his older stuff.
No, there weren't a lot of those people. Not at all. And then, I saw Michael Rooker.
Yeah, he did.
Fucking hilarious. Like, he just dismissed 60 to 70% of the questions. and if someone would ask him, what's your favorite, whatever, he would just be like, he basically was like, no, I don't do favorites. And then someone would come up and still ask, what's your favorite or what's your best? And then at the end, they're like telling him, all right, this will be the last question. He's like, no, it won't. We're going to get through all these questions. And he got off the stage and just took the microphone and went down the line of the audience and just answered every question with like one word.
Yes.
Like, no, what is yes. your, yeah, he, like, what is your favorite, whatever. He'd be like, yes. And then just like, but it, I mean, he was fun. At first, it really seemed like he was like being like a super dick, like a jerk. Like, is this guy fucking an alcoholic and he's just like drunk off his ass? But then you come to realize, you know, he's not going to answer these "what's your favorite" type of questions. But it was endearing by the end of it. But he was fun. Wasn't $60 worth of fun to go get my picture taken with him?
Yeah.
I saw him. I saw Tony Todd, who's known as Candyman in the horror world. And just, he's a character actor for seeing all kinds.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. Yeah, he was one of the way you always remind me of him is he was in The Rock.
Yeah,
he's like, do you listen to The Rocket Man? I don't listen to that soft shit. It's you. You're The Rocket Man.
You know what this shit can do? You want to see what this shit can do? He's like waving his knife around. Yeah. So, but I didn't realize he's like got a theater background.
He's
big into the theater, and that was a pretty cool panel.
Yeah, that's neat.
And then I rushed out of that one to see you. We went and saw the View Askew panel.
Brian O'Halloran and Joey Lauren Adams and Jay Mewes, and also this woman who decided to commandeer the entire thing and ask like five questions. And actually, it's funny because we were at I was at a party just over the weekend, and someone who was at the party ran into that lady again and had a confrontation with her at another panel.
Oh, a confrontation.
Like the woman.
So she just goes into panels and takes them over.
I guess. I mean, the woman who I talked to this weekend, she was her son was up asking a question. In line to ask questions. So she was saving the seat. And then that woman, the commandeer lady, showed up and she's like, she starts to try and sit down. She goes, oh no, the seat's taken. She's like, you can't save seats.
It was a thing. Well, the whole thing is they tell you up front, you ask one question and move on. You got a lot of people that want to ask questions. Right. Well, this person will ask a 5-part question, go get back in line, do it again. And then literally like brought them drinks to try to like score more points with them. It's like, move on. And because of her, five people in line didn't get to fucking ask their question.
She basically tried to make the panel about her and not them. And there was another girl on the panel that had a
conversation with them versus here's the question. Let me answer it. She acted like it was for her to play back off of and keep going. It's like, no, that's not what this is about. Sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's a fun weekend. I mean, yeah, it was good. Saw some wrestlers.
Wrestlers.
Bought some stuff.
I bought some Funko Pops.
you don't need a con to do that, Doug.
I got Trapjaw. Trapjaw from He-Man.
I was pretty good. I only bought one thing, so I was pretty... It's already hanging.
Oh, nice. Good.
But no, I had a good time with that. It's fun. No San Diego con. We still got to do that one year. We need to...
I guess. But see, then it becomes like a question of what do you do? I mean, Marvel had some stuff at San Diego Comic-Con, but then it's like, do you rather go to that or do you to
D23? You're picking one panel,
Or do you go to D23 or do you go to the Star Wars Celebration?
Right. Because with these panels, it's not like you show up 30 minutes early. No, you gotta
You're there all day. You're sleeping overnight, like on the street, basically. It's ridiculous.
But still, it'd be something to do once sometime. Right. I'd like to do it. Anyway, let's talk about what we're really here to talk about.
Yes. Prostate cancer. Everybody, get yourself checked.
It's a serious condition. Self-checked. You can self-check. It can be pleasurable.
Wow. That's too much information from Dirty A. Now I know why they call you Dirty A.
Dirty A. Yeah, there you go.
What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about War for the Planet of the Apes or Dunkirk?
Sure, that's fine.
War for the Planet of the Apes? Okay.
Let's start out the gate with the apes.
War for the Planet of the Apes is a movie.
They're not monkeying around.
That features apes.
Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the third film in the trilogy.
Right.
It started with Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And then it's directed by Matt Reeves, who also did the last one, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
He did not do
the first one, and you can tell the difference. I think we both still like the first one.
The first one, like the way I liken it is that it's kind of like, because without getting into anything just yet, I think we both agreed that we like Dawn just a little bit better than this
one.
I'm
splitting hairs a little bit, but yeah.
But to me, it's like the reverse Star Wars. You know, Star Wars, it's like Empire's the best. The first one, Star Wars, is next, and then Jedi is last. That's how it is with Planet of the Apes. It's Dawn is the best, War is next, and then Rise is the third best.
Yeah. I mean, Rise is still very good, but not. It's just not the same caliber of movie.
The other thing, too, about Rise, though, is that it's really more about the humans
absolutely.
Than it is about the apes.
It's a setup movie, and of course, it's more humans because the thing doesn't happen till the end.
Right.
And you don't... It doesn't even happen on screen.
Yeah.
So
you got to stay through the credits.
Yeah. So, that was really good. It's a good setup movie for this series, which I think has blown us away.
Yeah.
Where it's gone.
Yeah.
And this movie ending, at least the series of it. They may do more, but this is the original trilogy of this particular series, if you will.
Right.
Man, they really did a fantastic job.
They did. Basically, what happens in the movie is there's a war and then apes fight humans.
So on to Dunkirk.
Caesar is played by Andy Serkis.
Who's just amazing.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I mean, he's great at Caesar, but I mean, he's just... His work in CG is just fucking crazy.
I don't understand why he hasn't been nominated yet for an Oscar, honestly. Because they show you... They show you like the before and after videos, and they basically show you how it, even though it's CGI, to make
he's
him
still
look
completely
like an ape,
acting.
He's still acting on set there with
it's
those people.
Just, it's almost like it's a job that all of Hollywood doesn't recognize for what it is.
They ghettoize it, basically. Yeah. But Andy Serkis plays Caesar, and where we're at now is that at the end of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the war kind of started between the apes and the humans. And
I can't remember how many years later was this?
I want to say it's like
15, maybe.
I don't think it's that much. I think it's like 5 or something like that. Something like that. Maybe 10.
Maybe.
Oh, I think it is 10.
Is it 10?
Because I could have sworn they said 10 winters or something.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, it might be 10. And he and the apes still live in the woods, in the redwoods. But what's happened now is that there's this colonel, played by Woody Harrelson, who is basically sending his patrols into the woods.
Well, it's not like he's the only patrol that's been hunting apes. Again, they've been at war with with the actual army.
But he's the main...
He's kind of the real big last holdout to strong arm... The human race, I guess, if you want to call it.
Meanwhile, the apes are searching for a new place to go live,
and again, they're only fighting because they're forced to.
Right.
They don't want to fight.
Right. And this all started.
At least Caesar doesn't.
Right. This all started in the last movie because it was basically started by Koba, who's right. played by Toby Kebbell. He shows up here in some flashbacks. And hallucinations.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And Caesar, something happens, and tragedy strikes, and then Caesar basically zones out, and now he's only out for revenge now against this.
So he basically, he lives to become Koba, basically. He kind of role reversal there. And,
right.
And it's, what is that adage? If you live long enough, you're a hero.
Oh, well, that's Batman, The Dark Knight. Yeah. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
So he's not exactly a villain, but he becomes the antithesis of what he wanted to be as a leader. And he realizes this, and he says, "I'm going off on my own kind of
right."
thing. But the interesting thing about this movie is that it's. I went into this movie thinking a lot more action, thinking actual war.
Right.
Not at all. This is basically more or less the aftermath of the war, and this is almost. It's more psychological. It's more
like the war for his soul, basically.
It's much more psychological. It's more based on, like, prisoners of war versus the actual war going on.
Right.
And, but so well done.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. It's one of the best movies of the year. Yeah.
So the crux of the movie takes place basically in, like, Woody Harrelson has, like, essentially a concentration camp for the apes.
Right.
That he's running. And by the way, his character, wow, it's like so much bigger than I thought
they
give him a role to do. Like, I thought he was just going to be Mr. Badass.
Right.
And no, they gave him a wonderful backstory.
No, yeah, yeah.
Motivation
right.
for why he's doing what he's doing.
Right.
And then.
He's relatable.
And then ending it the way they did. I knew that was going to happen, but. Perfect.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, when Caesar runs off, goes off by himself, he sends the other apes to. Try and go to this new place they've picked out, and his loyal inner circle comes with him.
Maurice,
my favorite Maurice,
God, he's so good.
Played by Karen Carnival, and Maurice actually talks in this one a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Rocket, played by Terry Notary, and the two of them, Karen Carnival and Terry Notary, they've been those characters along with Andy Serkis since the beginning. And then there's a gorilla named Luca. Who's played by Michael Attemthwaite, and I don't believe he's the original gorilla because he died, right? The original gorilla from Rise of the Planet Apes. Didn't he die? Didn't he die like in Dawn of the Planet Apes? I thought.
I don't know.
I can't remember. Sure. But it's not the original. It's not the original gorilla who was with them in the zoo where Caesar met all these guys. Along the way, they find a little girl. Who for some reason can't speak, and she is Nova. And if anybody is a fan of the original Planet of the Apes movies, you know what that means. She's played by Amaya Miller.
What does that mean, Doug?
And they also run into another ape who can speak. Bad ape, who is played by Steve Zahn.
He's great.
He's the comic relief. He's the comic relief, and it's sorely needed in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
The movie's very dark, very dark. And,
But he's not even part of their faction at all.
Right.
He was on his own. He was a zoo ape that had escaped during the wars or prior to the wars.
And that's another link in the chain of how do you get Planet of the Apes just from these apes from it's not just them. Right. It's all over. It's like
the evolution began and spread.
Right. The gas basically that gave them their heightened intelligence has now it's become like a virus and spread to all these other apes and they do
a good job of not directly of course but tying this into the original Planet of the Apes. They give yet another reason for why a characteristic of the humans exists
but it doesn't completely link up because I was reading Collider. And they were like, they said that the original Planet of the Apes, in the timeline, it takes place way, way, way in the future from where this is. So you might have to look at these movies not so much as prequels, but as a reboot, basically, of the Planet of the Apes saga. It's totally wide open at the end. They can totally do another one if they want.
Now, this would clearly be, if you were to put this back to back with the original Planet of the Apes, you're probably talking. It would have.
I mean, he was saying probably, like 1,000 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you were to try to tie this one in directly, right, it would have to be like 10 or 20 years, like versus 1,000 years.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you
were to
try to.
Right. But it's not. Right. So you kind of have to treat this as a completely, you know, different animal. Pardon the pun. But no, they could totally go on. They could totally go on from here if they wanted to, and I'm sure they will because it's a hit. It's doing well.
As well it should. I mean, this is one of the best movies of the year, hands down.
Yeah.
It's hard to fault much going on in this movie.
Yeah.
It's a prisoner of war movie, and you, again, just like the last one, you feel for these apes just as you would any humans in the story.
Yeah. It's very emotional, this film.
There is some. I like this film particularly because they didn't ham it up. They didn't. Yes, it has comedy relief.
Right.
But it's only when absolutely necessary.
It's tension breaker.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never gratuitous.
No. Yeah.
This movie's just phenomenal. I know we don't want to give a lot away.
Right. Yeah. No, we don't.
And plot wise, but. I mean, the acting across the board.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. Definitely go see War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's still in theaters now. I think it was number 4 for the week? Something like that?
I don't know.
I think it was 4. Sure. It was 4. Because it was Dunkirk, Girls Trip, which actually got great reviews.
I know, right? Did you see that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the trailer. I'm like, well, this movie's not really for me.
Yeah.
But it got great reviews.
It's getting really good reviews.
Dunkirk, that
you know,
Girls Trip.
We're pretty bad. We say that kind of stuff, but we want to see more women in roles.
Right.
And then
right.
But this is a catered movie.
Yeah, this is a movie catering more towards women than it is to men. That doesn't mean that women have, you know, we're not saying that the only movies with women in them we'll go see are comic book movies. But when people say they want more women in roles, they mean more traditionally women roles.
The problem with that statement is, and I'm as guilty of it as anything, right, it's like that's saying like The Hangover was made for men. And that's not necessarily
true. No, that's not true. Yeah, that's not true.
So to say that this is just made for women, it's really their marketing.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so, yeah.
You know, it's an odd thing to because we both were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And now look, it may be a great movie.
Spider-Man Homecoming was number 3, Apes was 4, just by like $2 million, something like that. And Valerian was number 5.
Which, though, is not getting the worst reviews.
It's not.
Our friend saw it, she said she loved it.
Oh, really?
She said it was way her type of movie, maybe not mine, but
yeah,
she loved it.
I'm probably not going to go see it.
I don't know.
I got a book to finish.
I got enough to see.
Yeah, I got a book to finish. I'm not going to go see it. I just thought about the other day, like I saw Matt's post on Facebook about like productivity and stuff like that. And I'm just like,
damn it.
I'm like, why am I going to go see a movie that I really don't want to see anyway? I'm like, cause I hate Luc Besson. I'm sorry. I hate him. I mean, I love The Professional's great. That's about it.
Pretty much.
I'm not a fan.
I like his other stuff more than you do. Like Taken. Right. I like Taken.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of Taken.
I loved it, but he's way hit or miss.
And
for sure, his only glowing accomplishment is The Professional. Anything else, even if you like, is schlocky entertainment versus a film of any caliber, if you will.
Right.
But yes, I don't have any need to see that. But let's talk about the number one on your list this week.
Yeah. Yeah. As great as War for the Planet of the Apes is, and as great as Spider-Man Homecoming was, Christopher Nolan fucking did it again.
Damn it. That
Dunkirk.
Guy. That guy.
This is a film.
Period.
In a way, it's getting fantastic reviews. It's like at a 94 on Metacritic. Metacritic.
That's amazing.
That's huge. But in a way, it's also dividing some people because it is not a typical war movie.
It's done in a very specific way.
Right.
You're not following a singular storyline as more as you are following a singular event.
They don't. What Nolan doesn't do here is he doesn't put like a dramatic. He doesn't create like a dramatic through line right. in the movie. He just puts you there.
And there's not, like, some score that's telling you when to get sad or when to get upset.
Right.
It's just...
It's basically the way I described it to somebody.
But yet tense throughout the whole fucking
movie. Basically, the way I described it to somebody, I said, is less bloody because it's PG-13. They had to get the Harry Styles fans in there.
You don't need the blood.
But you don't. You don't. But basically, I said, if you took the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan and basically extended it into one movie, into a whole movie, that's what this is. It's set in World War II, and it focuses on Operation Dynamo, which was an attempted rescue effort by the British.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Running Man.
No, different Dynamo. Dynamo.
Okay, sorry.
Dynamo! The British were trying to rescue about 400,000 soldiers.
400,000. That was the only weird thing about this movie. I never felt like there were near that many soldiers on the beach.
Right.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Between the French and the British.
Between the French and the British, they said 400,000. And they were all basically cornered in this town called Dunkirk by the Nazis. And what happened was the Nazis basically had them really totally hemmed in because they had U-boats in the water and bombers in the air, and the British could not get anything going to get these guys out of there.
They'd send a ship to pick up people, and as soon as it would leave the dock, they'd sink it. Yeah.
So basically what happens is the British call up their civilian sailors to take their pleasure boats out.
Because Churchill and the rest of the British Army has basically left them to die. They've basically said they've given up, and they've said we cannot waste any more.
They said we're trying to get X amount off, and then everybody else.
Basically, it would have been a win for Churchill, and I'm not faulting the military strategy here. I'm just played out. It would essentially have been a win for him to get out 10% of those soldiers, about 30,000 or 40,000 out of the 400,000. That's not quite 10% because that included the French, and he wasn't even worried about the French.
Right,
he was worried about getting the British soldiers.
Right,
and if he had just gotten 30,000 or 40,000 of those soldiers, he would have considered it a win.
Right,
and he wasn't the British military was not going to send any more artillery or help in because it was futile.
Yeah,
they were just going to get sank. So they called in the locals.
And said,
the locals had smaller boats that could actually get to the shore as opposed to, you know, one particular dock that they called the Mole.
Yeah.
Where they'd have to dock everywhere. You got to wonder why they didn't immediately blow up the dock. I guess they wanted them to think that they
were going
to be able to do something.
Probably. I mean, why waste the ammo?
Yeah.
It's like they said.
With the tanks.
With the tanks. Yeah. They said, why aren't they bringing the tanks? They said, why not? We're on the beach. They can just send their planes and pick us off. Yeah.
So
So what happens is that in the very beginning of the movie, Nolan has, and he wrote and directed this. His cinematography, I'll say, is by Hoyt Van Hoytema, who worked with him on Interstellar.
Okay.
And this is just spectacular.
It's amazing.
I mean,
see it in IMAX.
Definitely see it in IMAX. Yeah. We saw it in IMAX, and when they had the aerial fights, I was like leaning, like I was like playing a video game, basically.
The aerial shots are the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not the best aerial shots I've ever seen, man. The best shots I've ever seen.
Right.
They're fucking amazing.
And of course, Hans Zimmer does the score as he does on all of Nolan's films. So, that really helps ratchet up the tension in this film.
It does. But again, it's still very subdued. It's not in your face.
No, it's not.
It's definitely a background thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, you're tense this whole movie.
So basically what happens is he sets it up that the Mole, it was taking a week, right?
Right. Oh, you're right. So the Mole was a week, yes.
The Mole was a week. By sea, it was
1 day. By airplane, 1 hour.
Because basically Dunkirk is basically like right across the channel. I mean, it's right there.
They referenced several times, we can practically see home from here.
Right. And then by air, it took an hour. And basically what he does when he sets that up, what you don't realize until about like halfway through the movie.
Well, okay. I knew that's where he was going from the beginning of the movie when he did that.
Oh, I guess. But yeah. I mean, but it does kind of come out of nowhere when they show him. Wait, what?
As soon as they said a week, a day, and I was like, he's going to collapse this timeline. And
So he kind of he does his Christopher Nolan thing where he tells the story kind of a little bit out of order to to
well, honestly, not out of honestly, order, but honestly, a lot up for dramatic effect,
right? Yeah.
To keep the pace up a little bit. So you don't want to show everything that's going on in the plane,
right?
In 5 minutes,
right?
That when it shows up at the end,
right?
It was a very creative thing he did for dramatic effect,
and so you know, a lot of people are complaining. I wouldn't say a lot, but some critics are complaining that, you know, there's not a lot of dialogue and they don't have like a real like emotional anchor for people. And there's no like,
but you're in a war story.
If you watch this movie, like you really watch this movie, you don't need that stuff.
The story is the emotional anchor.
The story is you're there with these guys and it follows three points of view. It follows the one kid. I don't even think they say his name in the movie, but IMDb says his name's Tommy. That's played by Fionn Whitehead, and he's like a relatively newcomer.
Right.
And it's a lot. It's a lot of actors you've never seen before, except for in key roles. You know,
you got Kenneth Branagh.
Right, Kenneth Branagh's in it, and yeah, he plays a commander, and then. James Darcy's in this. Yes. Cillian Murphy.
Oh, and, well, and of course
Tom Hardy is the main pilot. Yeah, Farrier. And people were complaining like, well, Tom Hardy. I mean, if you're coming for Tom Hardy, he only has like 11 lines in the thing. He is in this whole entire movie. Like he is a major presence in this movie. And Mark Rylance. I forgot about Mark Rylance.
That's right.
He's the main civilian guy who goes out that they follow. And you don't need this background stuff. You don't need to know, well, my girl back home and blah, blah, blah. You don't need any of that shit because it's all this movie's about is about the experience and survival.
So,
and these guys fighting for survival.
This is a flip flop of what most movies have to do to achieve.
Right.
In that the characters exist in this movie to show you the event.
Right.
Versus this movie being about the characters.
Right.
And you caring about. You do care about them. I don't want to say that, but you know what I'm getting at.
Right.
It's about the whole event.
Right.
And the characters are just used to weave you through the event.
Let's put it this way. Rogue One. Okay.
Loved it.
Is a quote war movie in the Star Wars universe. And they gave these guys a ton of dialogue. I didn't give a shit about one of those characters.
No.
This movie, I cared about every single one of those characters that were in this.
To be fair, that's a gross example because
well, it is,
that movie could never be.
No, that's true. That's true. But I'm just pointing it out. Absolutely. You know, so the little dialogue that these actors have and the acting that they do, because so much, a lot of it's wordless acting, and it's just it's incredible because like you get what's going on immediately.
For instance, Cillian Murphy.
Oh,
doesn't hardly say anything.
Yeah.
But you can see that he's basically got severe PTSD.
He's shell-shocked.
They called it shell-shock.
Right.
But he plays it so fucking well.
Oh, he's great.
And then there's a whole thing with something that happens.
Yeah.
You're just the whole time you're going, oh, God.
Like Hardy, like Tom Hardy and the other guy. I forget the other guy's name. The other pilot? Yeah, the other pilot.
I am not sure.
He, just like you just see like, just how good they are at their jobs and stuff like that. And that's compelling in itself.
And see, not many directors could do this.
No.
Because you have to have a lot of faith in yourself and your abilities to write this the way it was written and direct it. And then have Hollywood push this out as a blockbuster type of movie. I don't think most people have the chops to even consider doing something like this.
No.
But it's one of the most phenomenal movies maybe I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really great. Everybody's great in it.
Honestly, I'm not sure if I'm literally comparing apples and oranges. But right now I'm trying to decide, do I like this better or do I like War for the Planet of the Apes better? I don't know.
This movie, it's like Dirty A said. I mean, this movie is the tensest movie you've seen in a long time.
I think what pushes it over the edge is how creative and different this movie is. And succeeds on all levels.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only, there were only like a couple things that didn't irk me about it. Just little quibbles.
The only thing I said earlier is I didn't get the feel that there were actually 400,000 people on that beach. I got the feel there's a lot, but I was thinking more up until the words were said, I was thinking maybe 40 or 50,000.
Right.
And then they said, we need to get 40,000.
It may have been more in the town or something like that, too. Sure. Because there were a lot of French guys in the town.
Absolutely, yeah. So the focus of this is on the beach.
Right.
Where they're trying to get people out.
Right.
But there's a whole town where people are trying to escape. It being overrun and people were trying to escape to the beach, which is a cool opening scene of how it it takes one guy through the town to get to the
beach. Where we saw it, like where the IMAX theater we saw it in, they are notorious for having it really loud, and it was loud.
It's a loud movie.
Yeah,
it's
when the gun was going off and shit. Harry Styles, yes, One Direction fans, he's in this, and he's good.
He was fine.
But the thing is, like, this is what I'm talking about, how you don't need to have this, like, backstory.
Of course, Nolan didn't know who Harry Styles was when he cast him. He probably would have never got cast.
I was reminded a lot of Heath Ledger's line in The Dark Knight when he says, in their last moments, people show you who they really are. And that happens in this movie.
Yeah.
There's one character. I'm not going to ruin it, but there's one character who shows he's very heroic. There's another character who shows, fuck this. I'm in it for myself. I'm out of it for myself, and that's it.
It's a good juxtaposition of what you think versus what you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so stuff like that, this movie sticks with you after you see it. And Mark Rylance is great in this, as, you know, just his the sense of duty that he shows in this, you know, when anybody who was sane would be like, turn back, are you crazy?
This is one of those movies it's such a visceral experience that, like, I can't imagine someone who was involved in the war going to see this and not coming out with some backlash of PTSD.
Yeah.
Like, it's that real.
Yeah.
Granted, that's coming from me, who I don't know war from, you know, fucking a picnic.
But
It's just the experience. The word for me is visceral. This movie is an experience. It's not a movie. It's not a film. It's an experience.
Right.
And it's amazing.
Right.
Like fucking Nolan.
I gotta be honest. As of right now, it's probably my best movie of the year.
Yeah.
So far.
Like, it's between this and One More.
And it's
you're probably right.
And it's like, you know, I mean, think about it. This year, and especially this summer. I mean, we haven't had a summer like this since 2014. I mean, you had Guardians, which was good. You had, I mean, just like right in a row. Wonder Woman was good. But right in a row, you had Spider-Man, Planet of the Apes, and now Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Just 3 weeks in a row. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. And it's just like, you know.
All critically good movies.
Logan earlier.
On one end of the scale of good.
Trainspotting 2. I mean, it's just been
Trainspotting 2. I forgot about that. That was a fucking great movie. That would definitely be.
Fucking.
Right now, that's certainly my top 10.
Baby Driver. I totally forgot about Baby Driver.
What the fuck, man?
2 weeks ago, we're like, Baby Driver, go see it right now.
It's so old school. Oh, how about Boss Baby?
Get the fuck out of here with that shit. So, I mean, it's been a great year for movies so far.
Yeah, really good. But Nolan.
Belko Experiment?
James Gunn, 1 out of 2. he just produced that one, but still.
But see Dunkirk.
You gotta see
And go movie. See it in IMAX if you can.
You gotta see this movie.
And if you can see the 70mm, go that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But we don't have that here because
I think it's at South Point.
Is it?
We should think about going to check that out. It's gonna be at South Point.
I should check that out. Yeah. All
right. My buddy told me today.
Oh, really? Shit. Fuck. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
If I'd known that, I would have gone there then to see it. Oh, that makes sense because they did the Hateful Eight there.
Yeah,
too.
They did the Hateful Eight.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
All right. But go see Dunkirk immediately. Today. Right now. Go. And it's doing well. It won the box office of 50-something million.
I find it hard-pressed right now to believe this won't win Best Picture of the Year.
It all depends on what comes out later.
Like I said, right now.
It should get nominated.
Like I said, I don't know what's coming later.
Right.
But right now, it's hard to see that something better will come out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So now let's talk about a movie that is...
I mean, I love Saving Private Ryan as a war movie, but this...
Yeah. But Saving Private Ryan is more of a traditional war movie.
It's a different kind of movie.
I mean...
But even so, I look at that and I'm like... Fucking eat your heart out, Saving Private Ryan.
I mean, the opening 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan are still amazing, spectacular. Yeah. Yeah. But then it kind of becomes more of a traditional war movie where it's like, well, my mom back home, and it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love Saving Private
Ryan. We forgot to mention that San Diego Comic-Con. The Ready Player One trailer, Steven Spielberg.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I wasn't overwhelmed.
Yeah. I
it's whatever.
Honestly, I'm slowly making my way through the book, and I'm just like, it's okay.
I enjoyed the book. I know we're gonna, we've already talked about Dunkirk. Enjoyed Ready Player One. I did not read it. Will Wheaton did the audiobook, and I listened to it. And I enjoyed it. But I absolutely admit all it is a vehicle to serve pop culture references. Yeah. It's less about story.
I mean, I forget how far I'm into it, but I'm just like, it's Willy Wonka. I mean, it sounds like it's Willy Wonka.
and the casting, don't get me started. I'm sorry, but you've cast basically this modelly looking guy,
right,
to play what should be a pimple faced.
Right,
nerd boy.
But I think he's older too, based on the time. Because from the trailer, I think he's like 20.
Yeah,
and it's like he's supposed to be like a teenager.
Yeah. He's supposed to be not good looking because that's half his motivation for always staying in VR.
Oasis. Yeah,
like, give me a break. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
Spielberg, I'm sure, will put on a lot.
I mean, it looks cool. I mean, the movie looks cool.
We'll see.
It comes out in March.
Anyway, what you need to see is Dunkirk.
What you probably don't need to see. I shouldn't say that. It's
given what's in the theaters now, unless you're going on a weekly basis, this is not one you need to jump out to see.
We're talking
about open jets.
Right. It opens this weekend. Atomic Blonde. I will say this for Atomic Blonde. The action is brutal. It's very brutal. And Charlize Theron is great as an action heroine. She's great.
Yeah.
I just wish she was in a better movie.
That's what this movie is about. It's about the brutal action sequences.
Right. Yeah. It's very style over substance.
Style over substance.
Very style over 100%. Yes.
The plot line is very elementary. It's very basic.
It's convoluted.
Yeah. You know, they by the end of it, you know where it's going.
Right.
And it gets you there, and you're like, okay. But it's all about the fighting scenes.
The soundtrack is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
It's very 80s new wave soundtrack. The problem is, so it's right up my alley. The problem is they did it like Suicide Squad, where it's one after another,
Every minute, as soon as one stops, another one begins.
It felt like they were trying to do like a music video more than a movie.
Right.
And this is
To be fair, though, we need to point out this is based on a comic book.
It's based on a graphic novel.
A graphic novel, sorry. So honestly, the way the movie's done may be because it fits whatever is in the graphic
novel.
That's
true.
I don't know.
That's
right?
true. I've never
read it. Gotta be a little fair with it because the material may come naturally to this movie.
Right.
But it's not a bad... It's entertaining.
Definitely entertaining.
It's not a terrible movie by any means. And like you said, Theron does a good job.
Right.
What's his face?
McAvoy.
James McAvoy is fine.
Yeah.
That's where the convoluted part comes in.
Like, yeah.
And they want it to be convoluted.
Right.
I mean, with the whole double agent, triple agent.
Yeah.
Quadruple agent.
Yeah.
You know.
John Goodman is good in this. Toby Jones is really good in this. James Faulkner is in this. You would know him from Game of Thrones, or just from last night's Game of Thrones.
If you say so.
Shut up. He's Randall Tarley. He's Sam's father. Sophia Boutella's in this. And she like other ladies.
Yes, she does.
Eddie Marzan is also in this.
That's right. Yeah,
he's good. And Bill Skarsgård is also in this. Bill Skarsgård, you will be able to see him in September, I think, if I'm thinking about the right guy. You'll be able to see him.
You're talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is. He's Pennywise.
He's Pennywise.
Okay. I knew.
Yeah.
I did. I just don't know how many.
There's so many Skarsgård.
I know how many there are.
So many Skarsgårds. Yeah. He is. He's Pennywise, which I'm looking forward to. You know, the one selling point about this movie that I'll say is that the action is very realistic.
Yes.
Like, it's not
that's
like
what I mean by it's brutal.
Not, right.
It's very,
it's not like they dumb it down to where
it's not stylized
to where she never gets hurt.
Yeah, it's not like John Wick.
Right.
Which is interesting
which is also great for that's so much more I want to use the word choreographed, but that's not right because this is choreographed well, it is. Too. It's just that she gets the shit beat out of her.
She does.
And it's cool. And it's not like she's a woman, so she doesn't get beat up in the movie. No, she does.
She does.
And brutally so. And yeah. And then it goes beyond that to comically so at one point. Like, yeah. They're literally, it's real because they're both still so winded, but they're just right. barely throwing punches, you know.
The director on this is David Lettich, and he...
Has he done anything else?
Yes, he is... let
me pull up his... Jakubowicz? What?
Lettich. Wait, what? He was one of the directors on John Wick.
He
worked, and then... That makes he's, sense. And he's also going to be directing Deadpool 2. So this is almost like a...
So he's a very... They obviously hire him for very specific reasons.
Well, yeah. He was a stunt guy. He was a stunt guy. So he's... So he could do fight choreography and stuff like that. But...
So it's... Yeah. I mean, there's just so much good stuff out now, like you were saying earlier. Right. It's hard to recommend this movie amongst the pile of stuff that's so good.
Right.
But... You know, it's not terrible. And
we're not going to get in the plot because the trailer pretty much tells you the plot.
It's a very basic spy story.
Yeah.
Spy, fish out of water spy story where she's
behind
enemy lines.
Right. I did like the setting that it was right before the Berlin Wall came down, which was very cool.
It was.
But it's very much style over substance in this one. And the other thing about Charlize Theron, which, like, again, she was great in the action scenes. Her character, I couldn't get behind her character because she almost played it like too cool for school. Like there was never like a crack in the armor where you're like to see like her humanity.
That's where I disagree. Well, okay, except no, the fighting scenes where you saw the cracks.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is like she's always like, oh well,
you're right. But I was like, for all I know, that's how spies act. You know, fuck, I don't know.
You saw Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. You know
that's a fucking brilliant spy movie. Yeah. Now, my favorite part about this movie was the beginning when some guy referenced Mr. F, and I was like, Mr. F?
Yeah, some guy behind us mentioned Arrested Development. He's, Mr. F? I wish Dave
and
Thomas
then I
was
got
in
the fight.
Yeah, I wish Dave Thomas was in this movie. But no, it's entertaining. Atomic Blonde's entertaining, but you might just probably want to wait until maybe the doldrums of August.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on how good Dark Tower is going to be.
Honestly, you know, it's like, I'm not recommending it, but it's almost these days it's like Netflix entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not to say you can't go out in the theater and see it and be happy. But
go to a matinee.
Yeah. It's fine. Okay, fucking you. We've told you two better movies.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And then there's also still Spider-Man out there, which is hilarious.
And Baby Driver,
which is great. You know, so it's
Dark Tower coming up next week. So.
And hell, I mean, even freaking Wonder Woman. I mean, she is now
absolutely.
Wonder Woman is now. I think this weekend she became the second domestic box office winner. Beauty and the Beast is way ahead, but. But she just, I think, topped Guardians of the Galaxy too.
That's awesome.
I still wasn't
in love with that movie.
Right.
It was good.
I think people are more in love with her than they are with the movie.
I'll agree with that. I'll buy into that.
Because they're like, oh my God, finally. Because it's like I said, but the last three superhero females were Catwoman, which was terrible. Elektra was terrible. And way back in the 80s,
this was,
Supergirl, which
this was
awful.
Leaps and bounds above any. I'll give it that. Oh, the other thing we didn't mention from Comic-Con is they've showed Captain Marvel will be set in the 90s.
Yes, Captain Marvel is going to be set in the 90s.
Which means that Easter egg that dropped, that
we
thought
dropped
in Doctor Strange, is not true. It can't be.
It's not true, but it's also like, did they do that by mistake?
Or they didn't know at the time. Yeah, they didn't know at the time. You're right.
Because they were still writing the script at that
point. You're right. They didn't
know
at the time, but yeah. So that'll be interesting that it's gonna go back. So
from what I understand,
tie-ins.
They confirmed that Sam Jackson's in it, and he will have both eyes in this movie.
Oh,
and they said they might de-age him possibly, but they said Brie Larson, they don't need to age her up when she comes in because they said her powers basically keep her young or whatever. And I think that pretty much confirms the fact that when she comes into Infinity War, she'll be coming from space, which is why she hasn't been around.
That's right.
You know, so she's going to be coming from space.
And have you seen her in that outfit?
Did they show it?
Well, it's mocked up.
Oh, well, I mean, that does, I mean, until we actually see it.
Yeah.
Until we actually see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, go see War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Go see Dunkirk.
100%.
And Atomic Blonde, maybe wait for it to come on cable or something like that, or rent it.
We want to make a Atomic Blonde. No, that doesn't work at all.
No. Plus, it's too late.
That song's too late. That's way too late.
They did put, and it's funny because in the trailer they did Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode, which is still the right time, it's 89. But the song they actually used in the movie by Depeche Mode was Behind the Wheel. And I was like, yeah, it's a better song.
Sure.
But the rest of the time.
Coming up, right?
Huh?
When's that one?
September. Yeah. Yes. And Dave Gahn is okay.
That's right. He was.
Dave Gahn of Depeche Mode was hospitalized in Russia or Ukraine or something like that. And it's scary for Depeche Mode fans because 8 years ago he was hospitalized and they found bladder cancer and he had it taken care of and all that stuff and he's treated for it. But it was just food poisoning. Just food poisoning this time, everybody. Don't eat in the Ukraine, I guess. But, yeah, so that'll do it for this episode. 150! 150!
Wow. It feels like 149.
150! The Hodgepodge Podcast.
Hopefully we'll see you next week for Dark Tower.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening. See you.